From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of October 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Eric Snodgrass will be here today to take a look at the weather forecast and some of the longer-term conditions that might be impacting corn and soybean harvest across the Midwest. We'll also check in on Brazil, and then we'll discuss the grain market with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net and in Windsor, Illinois. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand in that Bluetooth radio. You've got the combine or the tractor this harvest season. If you can't listen to us live, at willag.org, willag.org, or any other place that you find podcasts.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures in Chicago, December contract up 3 cents at 394 3/4. The March at 406.5 up 3 in the May. 412 3/4, 3 higher. July at 417 3/4, 3 higher. And December contract at 410 3/4, up 2 1/4. November beans up 3.5 at 931.5. The January 945 1/4 up 3 cents. March futures 2.5 higher at 957. The May at 965 1/4 up 2. And July soybeans for the day at 973.5, up 1 1/4. Bean oil futures a penny lower at $30.39. The bean meal at 306.80, up $2 even. Soft red winter wheat, July contracted 536, up 9 3/4. The hard red July at 460 3/4, up 5 1/4 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures, October at 112.40, a nickel higher. December at 114.37.5, up 50 cents for the day. Feeder cattle down $1.25 at $144.20 per 100 pounds in the October. November at 144.32.5, a $1.60 lower for the day. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace and how trade ensued in Chicago. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, Dan.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
Let's talk about all the things that have happened this week, because, well, and the end of last week, too. So we had a down day with the crop production WASDE numbers on Thursday, an up day with the potential Chinese deal on Friday. And we've been a little bit all over the board this week. The market looks like it's been holding fairly strong. And, of course, we had that weekend winter storm as well. How have you assessed it all?
Well, I think for the most part, we're basically, you know, we're halfway through October, and we're, I don't know how much unchanged we are, but we're not this decisively, you know, lower. And I think that is a key, especially after we had a strong up month during September. Now, I know the reason we were higher during September is because the crop is basically a month later. So, you know, this year, we should be getting that September pressure. September is one of those months you close lower 9 out of 10 years, or 85 out of 100 years you close lower. We closed higher this year, and that was because we really didn't have any harvest activity going on. So that September harvest pressure now is in full swing here in middle part of October. And the market is basically holding steady. We don't know where we'll be at the end of the month, but at least for the most part, technically, I just view the market as taking a breather from the strong up month that we had during the month of September. So when you look at the charts, we're still in a sideways to higher. Some would probably call it higher. But I call it mostly a sideways to higher, or a slow higher trend, continuing the advancement that we had during the month of September. And of course, there's a million different reasons that are coming into play on it. But I think that the biggest reason, at least in the Eastern Corn Belt, yields are coming in underneath last year by more than what USDA's report implies. And I think that is what's providing some underlying support. The other thing is the China talk. I know we've been talking about it for a year. I think we've been talking about it, I guess, ever since the tariffs kind of went into place, is that we would cook a deal sometime. And it does sound like we're getting close. It does sound like some of the exporters have sold some beans to China. The market feels like those exporters need some need beans. They need to collect some inventory, and they're having a hard time getting it pried away from the farmer. Now, I think that's been kind of what's in the bean market right now, is what's stalling the rally out, is your processors and your exporters are pushing the basis a little bit. To try to encourage that farmer to sell some beans. Even though the yields are down some, I think farmers are looking at the bigger picture of receiving that market enhancement payment, or whatever, that facilitation payment of anywhere from $70 to $80, depending upon which county you're in. I guess some counties are much smaller, but looking at Illinois anyway, you add that $70, and then you look at the bean price. Actually, cash bean prices are pretty close to their June highs. They're right up against those June highs. And then if you take into account the government payment that you're getting, you know, those numbers are working, and farmers got bills to pay. They usually can't store everything, and when you start paying commercial storage, that puts you in the hole right away. So I think we are seeing some movement of beans, and I think that's what kind of got into the market yesterday when we had a down day. Now today we did close higher, but we was well off session highs. But I think overall, the market is in consolidation, and we're just kind of waiting around, I think, for the China thing to kind of get finalized, but that's still at least 2 weeks away, if not longer. I'm not too sure. Is it November 1st when they meet or something like that, or something like first week in November? I think Trump and the president of China is going to meet. And I think maybe some kind of deal could be announced there. So the market, I think, is patiently waiting on some of that. I think the market is waiting to see if USDA does any changes on the November crop report. They were a little disappointed in what USDA showed them, I think, on the October report, especially on the corn yield. So I still think there's some downward revisions yet in overall yields. I think there's some supply tightening to show up in the balance sheets. And I think the market is patiently waiting on that to occur.
Yeah, I did make note, and you probably did as well, that USDA in its yield survey portion for the November crop production report, it will be asking the farmers, it's asking about yield, what their harvested acreage looks like in both Minnesota and North Dakota. So we may get a better idea of what, if any, damage really was done there. And they're talking about whether they're going to harvest those acres or not, too. So that'll be updated at that point. When you put it all back together, sounds to me as if you're thinking that farmers might be just as well off to market soybeans at this point, despite the fact there's a carry in that marketplace?
I think the market's trend, the overall trend, is higher into spring. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to have some ups and downs inside that higher trend. And I think each farmer has to evaluate their situation. I do know that farmers need a lot of cash flow come December 1st. For one reason, especially a lot of cash rent payments are due toward that end of the year. Bankers are going to start wanting some money. Farmers are going to have to decide on how much money they need to put into this tax year or hold over into next tax year. So there's usually an element of country movement activity that takes place. And you always want to kind of sell it when the market's going up. You don't want to sell it when it's going down. When you've got end users pushing the basis bid, that usually brings inventory into the marketplace. So, I'm not totally opposed to making some sales here, especially, you know, if you're looking ahead and you got to get a certain amount of stuff sold between now and the end of the year, because there's a ton of outside activities that could go wrong for one reason or the other and maybe turn the market bearish. But overall, I got to stay generally positive to the market as we go on in the spring, because I think the market is going to be wanting to feel comfortable that farmers are going to plant, a ditch to ditch, not fence row to fence row. We don't have no fences anymore, I guess. We go from one ditch to the next ditch. And so I'm kind of optimistic that the supply-demand tables are going to improve over time. I think market prices are going to slowly improve over time. And I really think this bean market is still very explosive, depending upon what that total yield is going to be, what is going to be the total harvested area, how many areas actually got damaged from the adverse weather here a week ago. So I do think, and then if China is a big buyer, I think that soybean market is real explosive. And if it would decide to take off and run a dollar or two, corn is not going to sit there in the mud puddle. It's going to follow along. And so I think the June highs that we made back in June are eventually going to be taken out. It's just a matter of probably when that is going to occur. But I do think the June highs are going to be taken out. And then we'll take one day at a time after that occurs.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's all I have, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from Agribull and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hey, Eric, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Well, let's start with what's going to happen in the near term. I see maybe there's a storm system coming next week.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The storm system is one we've actually been talking about for a while. It is the end result of, remember that super typhoon Hagibis we've been talking about, I think, for 2 weeks? It's finally worked its way across the North Pacific, and it has really strengthened the jet stream in the North Pacific. I mean, it's fast right now, and it's coming right down over the next couple of days into this weekend into the middle part of the country. So as this happens, it's going to kind of put an end to our nice little dry streak we've had here in the Midwest and in parts of the central U.S. We had this nice little drier time period. A lot of harvesting did get done in places, but this next storm system that comes through is really going to be adding a lot of insult to injury in the northern part of the U.S. and also bring in the chance here for quite a bit of rainfall once we begin our new week. So here's the setup. Low pressure system is going to emerge more than likely out of Wyoming, a little farther north, and it's going to dip basically to the Nebraska-South Dakota border and then head toward the Great Lakes. So we're going to be on the southern side of this, the warmer side of it, but there's quite a bit of Gulf moisture that will be involved in this system. So as it comes through, we do have the chance for, if the thing slows down just a little bit, we may be looking at some pretty nasty thunderstorms as the main front comes through at the beginning of the week. On the northern side of this, though, this is where the problems are going to be, because we still have all that snow on the ground. It will be slowly melting over the next 2 to 3 days as the warm-up happens out ahead of this system. So that's going to start a flooding problem. And there's about 3 inches of liquid equivalent in that. And then we are going to see the northern side of this storm system basically rain all over parts of Minnesota, North and South Dakota. Now, what will be tricky, and this will be important for, I think, Iowa farmers and Illinois farmers, you know, these storm systems kind of look like a candy cane, right? There's a back back side of them that has a, what we call a dry slot. Somebody is going to be fortunate enough to be in that dry slot. Will it be Illinois? Will it be Iowa? Well, the jury's still out on that. But if you're in that dry slot, you're not going to be picking up the additional rain, and that could be very beneficial to keep the harvesting efforts going after this system plows through. So it's a big one. Thankfully, it's not a snow producer, but it is. It's going to be a pretty powerful low pressure system that sweeps through here by the time. I mean, it'll be gone by the time we get to Tuesday of next week.
What's the end of the week look like then?
Well, there's a little, I call them kickers. There's a second little trough coming in the backside of this broader trough feature that'll go to the Great Lakes and there between there and the Hudson Bay. And it's going to try to sneak through at the end of the week. So think Wednesday night through Friday morning. So mainly a Thursday event. And it's going to go through the northern plains. And this one might actually have enough cold air on the backside of it to be producing some snow in the northern plains again. And nobody there wants to hear me say that. Now, it's still pretty far out. It's, you know, it's a week out in the forecast. So the timing, location, the intensity is still up in the air, but the models have been pretty keyed in on that. The good news is that after that system goes through, we will be in, we'll be seeing more ridging out west and more troughing over the east coast. And we would be in between that here in the Midwest, and that is a drier pattern. And that would be a welcome sign for a lot of us here, but it will be cool. And given that we've already seen below freezing temperatures reach all the way into the Ohio River Valley, it's certainly covered parts, you know, big parts of Illinois, bringing us down for a few hours below freezing in the last 4 or 5 days. You know, we are at a point where if it just gets cold and allows us to get a harvest in, that's okay. So that's not the case the further north we go, as you and I have both talked about quite a bit.
Yeah, two things. Drier than what, and what does it mean longer term into the month of November?
Yeah, so drier than what? Drier than it has been, which still could mean that we get some precipitation coming through. But, you know, we finished September and we have begun October with places in Illinois that are between 300 and 400% of average on rainfall. That'd be the northern half of the state. Same thing for almost all of Iowa. And you get into the Dakotas, there are some places there that are between 600 and 800% of normal rainfall during that time period. So that is excessive. They have as much as 4 to 6 inches of extra water that's in the soil in those locations. So, you know, those folks would love for everything to freeze up so that they could get in and get some work done because it's just a mud fest up there with all of this rain that's coming on top of that snow that's melting.
What's happening in Brazil?
So Brazil's been interesting because the Pacific Ocean has been kind of out of sorts because of this big Indian Ocean dipole event. We've seen that in the Amazon, they've been getting rain. We've seen that in northern Mato Grosso, they've seen some rain. And then we're anticipating quite a bit of rain on a frontal boundary that's going to pass through northern Argentina and southern Brazil. But you get into central and eastern Brazil, they're still dealing with the long-term effects of this drought. And so they're about 10% or so off the planting pace that they were at a year ago. And while this will likely not have an impact on soybeans, it will potentially delay the planting of the safrinha crops, of which, of course, there's corn and cotton. So I think what we all need to be doing right now is watch how much of a delay they get in the planting. And then you and I need to have a lot of great discussion come the end of December through the month of January, beginning of February, on exactly how much rain they are getting, because that will be the crucial time period that'll tell us if they're going to get that bean crop out on time or if it will continue to see delays and what it'll do to the yields, too.
Now, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
And of course, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Eric.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Matt Bennett now joins us from agmarket.net in Windsor, Illinois, where he farms as well. Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Are you out on the farm today?
Yeah, we're trying to get some corn picked today. We were hoping to get beans, and we're down to just, a couple of days of beans, but we can't hardly get them to test, so we're going to have to pick a little bit of wet corn, I think, because we just don't want to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah, just for those who don't know exactly where Windsor, Illinois is, you're to the south and east of Decatur by how far?
Oh, yeah, it took me about 40, 45 minutes to get the Farm Progress Show, so I'm just west of Mattoon there on the Interstate, 15 miles.
And what has basis been like in your area for both corn and soybeans?
Well, you know, the bean basis there at, you know, at ADM Decatur, where a lot of people go, 22 cents improvement in the last 10 days. That's pretty impressive. And so bean basis has been just getting better pretty much every day. And I think not getting all the beans that they want. A lot of places are actually running longer hours. But, you know, right now with the way this weather is, you know, later in the day, if you cut too many beans later in the day, they're picking up moisture again. So it's getting late enough in the year, it's hard to get a lot of beans cut every day.
Yeah, so they're trying to get farmers to stay in the field, but is it a matter, is it's just late and they're not really cutting soybeans? Yields are low, combination of all of the above.
Combination. I think yields are just, you know, they're good, but they're not great. And so we're all used to awfully good beans here the last couple of years. So, you know, this year definitely not quite what we've been used to. And I think the elevators and some of the end users are a little bit concerned on how many beans they're going to get.
What about corn basis?
Well, corn basis has been interesting in that, you know, for instance, I referenced ADM Decatur, you know, and they haven't changed for a while, but they're 12 cents over. In the thick of harvest last year, they're actually running 35 under. And so, I mean, there's a totally different deal, you know, than what we were looking at, for instance, last year. Yeah, I will say this, most of the guys that I talk to are getting a pretty good push if they shop around just a little bit. And I think it's because there's a lot of concern as to getting good quality dry corn. And so right now, you know, people are running out of their dry corn and, you know, it's gone quiet. And so I think some of these guys are really searching, the originators are, and they're willing to push just a little bit. So I certainly would be paying very close attention to that.
Does that surprise you in this area? I would think that if you were further to the west, that might be a bigger concern. But here, I guess they're concerned awfully about the June planted corn then.
Well, I think there's definite concern no matter where you go. It's definitely been interesting to see this. And I think, you know, the fact that basis hasn't backed off in the last 2 weeks as combines are running hardcore. I mean, it's business time for producers. We know that, you know, and we're sitting here with basis still sticking right in there. So I think it's a good thing. It's a sign that, you know, there's some concern out there.
What if producers need to do, if anything, with the marketplace?
Yeah, I like rewarding that basis. Listen to what the market's trying to tell you. Sell some of this corn. You know, I want to keep ownership in some way, though. So I do like a limited risk, maybe at the money call. It's a lot cheaper than storing it in the elevator. But, you know, at this stage of the game, basis is telling you need to bring that corn to market now. And I kind of like doing that. As far as soybeans go, I think either way, you're going to be in significant better shape if you sell it. You know, we've seen a 90 cent to a dollar rally here. At the same time, there could be more rally ahead if these bean yields continue to disappoint.
Anything different in other parts of the Corn Belt? And we only have about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I have heard some good bean yields here and there, but as you know, there's a big question mark as to what you're going to see for corn and bean yields in the West and upper Midwest. So I think it's a mixed bag at this stage of the game. I don't think you can definitively say that corn or beans are going to get bigger at all. I think it's going to get smaller.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, supporting the next generation of farmers with the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmer Program, offering lending assistance and learning incentives to equip today's newest farmers for a healthy start in their farming careers.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between, posted not long after it airs on our radio stations and sometimes even before, like Commodity Week, which we'll record this afternoon. You can find it by about 6 o'clock this evening at willag.org, or look for it as a podcast along with the Closing Market Report in Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the NPR One app, any place that you happen to find a podcast, including iTunes and the Google Play Store.